Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover and 24/7, the 24/7 network here in the studio with Drew at the controls. JC, how you doing?
Doing good. Let me get my headphones on. Yeah, doing good. Just trying to get everything rolling for this weekend. Getting ready to go out, make the
heading
trip across and see how it goes.
San Francisco, or sorry, in the area.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
That was.
Don't leave your heart. You know, hopefully, that's a note.
Well, I mean, we had a little come Monday, Jason will be back.
I don't think I'm going to leave my heart in San Francisco. I think I'll be fine with that one.
Yeah. All right. But, looking forward to the game. I mean, it's going to be really interesting with the flight to the West Coast, the 9:30 Central kickoff time. That's probably as big a concern as I have just getting out there and the team sitting around Saturday.
Yeah. More than anything you saw on the field Saturday from Auburn?
Probably as much.
Okay.
I
think it has as much of an impact probably. It's just an unknown. You just don't know how teams are going to react to it.
I mean, you'd prefer when you're on the road, go ahead and play. And this time you're going out there and you're going to be one of the last.
Yeah, you're games. Sitting until the very end. So, mm-hmm. So it's even 7:30 local time. That's a long time to wait when your body clock says, 2 hours ahead. And so that's the thing. Can you kind of figure it out a little bit, try to find something to do? My guess is they'll get up and get moving around on Saturday because, what you don't want is just sit around all day. And so especially that late. So get around, probably they may actually do a walkthrough Saturday morning, come back and take a nap or do something, just kind of get some blood flowing a little bit and then get ready to go. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
But, yeah, it's something that you're just, you don't have a
no
whole
right
lot of.
There's no right or wrong.
History doing.
Cal's offensive success on the first three or four drives on Saturday to me is going to be, it's fascinating to see what ends up happening because they ran the ball extremely well, especially after they made the quarterback change or the quarterback was injured, the starter, Jackson, but. It was a group of five team they were playing against. Auburn had that opening drive that you might be concerned about with UMass moving down the field and scoring. Tightened up after that, but it's a big jump from UMass to Cal as far as the quality of your opponent. Now we hear about the Austin Keys injury on the conference call. Doesn't seem like he's going to be able to go
for a while
for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'd say if you could get him back in a couple of weeks with it wrapped up,
that would be
best
good.
Case scenario. Yeah, yeah.
I would say the adjustment to the West Coast and to a 9:30 Central Time kickoff in California is going to be a challenge. I'm eager to see, but also a little bit nervous, but eager to see what Auburn's run defense looks like against. A major conference team that can run the football, because they're going to see quite a few of them, this year.
Correct, and different type of one. Probably this is a little bit more spread it out. Kind of really good running back, and Cade Knott is really good, and he gave Auburn a little bit of a say. Hey, here you go this afternoon. A little quote.
Oh, I missed the Zoom this afternoon.
Yeah, from Cade Knott.
Something about the jersey or the name,
Let me find it, because Nathan was on the Zoom call and then tweeted it out, said, there's a lot of focus on the name Auburn, but what I see on film is not really in comparison to what their name is. I just want to get that into my guys' heads that a name doesn't mean anything.
Well, so I understand what he's saying.
I understand what he's saying, but it basically saying, that doesn't look like an Auburn defense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or if you think of Auburn as a top 10, top 15 program, he's saying Auburn's team at the moment, and especially the defense, isn't of the standard of a top 10, top 15 program.
And it's truthful, but to say something truthful, it can still be used as bulletin board material.
Yeah, no, I think you could still take offense to it if you're somebody who's contributing on that Auburn defense, because that's a challenge to you to prove him wrong.
On the whole team. I mean, he said, just looking at it, it doesn't look like what you might think of.
You're right.
When you hear Jersey. Auburn.
Wasn't defense exclusive.
Yeah, right. but you're right. There's two things I look at Saturday. You can always go turnovers and all those things. To me, I'm looking at how does Auburn's pressure defense hold up when a team wants to run it a lot? Can you create enough negative plays to put them in third and long situations? Can you do those things and slow down a running game? It worked on Saturday. Once they started doing that, it worked pretty good. Can you do that against a team like Cal? And then can you make plays in a passing game? They had some one-on-one opportunities. Now, Hugh Freeze admitted it Saturday. Look, we had a lot of things that we were going to do in the passing game that we just put on the shelf once the game was over. We didn't go to those things. We know that Rivaldo Fairweather is going to be involved in this offense. Did not see that at all on Saturday. We saw some one-on-one opportunities, though, and they didn't connect. Can you connect on more of those one-on-one opportunities? Mm-hmm. Because if you're Auburn, you're going to run the football, and you're going to have one-on-one chances. You've got to take advantage of those chances in a game like this, in my opinion, on the road, to have a chance to win.
And that's on the receiver and the quarterback,
both.
Right?
It wasn't just one or the other. There were some that was where the throw wasn't right. There were some where it wasn't the correct decision. Hugh Freeze pointed out two or three of those. And there were some where it was a 50-50 ball, and the wide receiver, you count on that guy to go make a play. And they didn't make a couple of them, but you're looking for some of those big plays from the Shane Hooks and those guys that they've been making those plays. And they didn't make enough of those on Saturday, in my opinion. To me, you got to have more out of the passing game Saturday.
It's a quiet day for the transfer receivers. I mean, Shorter and Mardner were
– Well, Shorter played. Nick Mardner did not see action.
Shorter right. seemed limited, right, in the week leading up.
Caleb Burton had a couple of opportunities.
Down late.
Felt like Burton didn't really get into the rotation until the game was in hand.
He was toward the back end. I mean, Jay Fair and Javaris Johnson were the two best wide receivers, the two most targeted wide
receivers.
Malcolm
Johnson, that was nice to see.
At the end of the game, he got a chance to get involved a little bit. Does he start to get more opportunities too? But the problem is that where can you get all those guys on the field at the same time?
Well, Malcolm's at least not a slot guy.
He's not a slot, but Jay Fair and Var are slot guys. How can you – I mean, that's the thing you look at now is can you move some of those guys around if they become your most productive guys?
That's Jason Caldwell, who joins us here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive, as is usually the case. We'd love for you to join in as well. Hour number one of the drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they are also the sponsor of our hotline. You can call us 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
As you mentioned, Dan, I mean, news coming out today from Hugh Freeze on the SEC teleconference. Austin Keys out for a while. Jason, he played some Saturday, but that definitely hurts Auburn in a spot where they are not the deepest.
Yeah, now – where do you go to? We saw Jake Levant walk on. They'll be in there. Does Robert Woodyard, does he transition back to the rotation some? He's been working a little bit of scout team stuff. Do you get him as a rotation piece now? You're right. There's not a ton of those guys. Wesley Steiner is the guy that's involved there. We didn't see much of. He's got some experience. But you look at Cam Riley, Eugene Asante.
Cam didn't Blair Nixon, play that much Saturday. It's like he started and then didn't see as much.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, like, how guys are used, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell what the system is when certain guys are in, because Eugene Asante's in the game. It looks like they're going to attack. He's in the attacking guy. Looks like when Cam Riley and those guys in there, they were just kind of play base straight up kind of things. And I'd like to see Cam Riley attack a little bit. I think that's who he is.
It didn't seem like a good sign. We were talking about it in the press box that really the most significant personnel change Auburn made after the first drive was you didn't see as much Cam Riley. The rest of the first half.
They went and went small and quick and went Donovan Kaufman, you know, and Keontae Scott as the edge guys and sent those guys and were creating more pressure with the smaller guys. It worked well in that game. It might not be the recipe in week two, maybe not.
And without Austin Keys, it seems like there needs to be a role for Cam Riley because it can't just be
you're going to have
Asante and Nixon. No. I mean,
you're going to have some size, and yeah, Larry Nixon's a guy that is a bigger guy. But yeah, Cam Riley is going to have to play a role as a true linebacker for this team. But I still think he needs to be a guy that gets downhill. So I'm doing that.
334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. Week two coming up this week, and of course the Auburn at Cal game. Alabama hosting Texas. Texas A&M going to Miami. The SEC in the meaningful non-conference games, not so good in week one. So, you know, hoping to step it up. And Auburn, obviously, hoping that they can do their part this week.
Yeah, they were not very good. You're right. The only one that, I mean, and I picked Florida State, but the way that game played out was probably the only surprise for me. I thought South Carolina was going to struggle. I thought that, you know, people were talking about that team. We talked about the schedule, going how much the schedule impacts what kind of team you have. And, like, I don't care what they did at the end of the year last year. They had some key losses. Gene Bell being one who had two touchdowns for Florida State the other night. And you go look at South Carolina and go, okay, this is just the first of a brutal stretch for them. That's a 7-5 at best team, in my opinion.
Their offensive line really struggled.
Yeah, and Shane Beamer's like, well, remember that. You know, this keeping receipt stuff is just the garbage. But same thing. Remember that later in the year. Well, okay, that's fine. But how many losses does it take to get to that point?
Been a while since Clemson, South Carolina, and Coastal all lost in the same week.
I don't think a team in the state of South Carolina won a football game Saturday. The entire state.
Wow.
No, and Clemson is one that I've been saying for a couple of years that they've been taking guys in recruiting classes that they never would have taken 8 to 10 years ago. And they still get ranked highly. But all of a sudden you start to look at players 55 to 85, and there's a noticeable difference than there was 10 years ago. But you look outside at wide receiver, Antonio Williams is a good player.
They didn't look like that much difference in the talent of Clemson and Duke.
Antonio Williams is a guy that's probably a 2, maybe a 3. He's a good player. But he's having to be the one at Clemson.
It seems unthinkable that they would turn on Dabo.
Huh. College football fans.
I know. I guess because I remember pre Clemson. Like I remember pre Dabo.
They do too, but you forget. Because I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. If Alabama were to lose Saturday, I'm just telling you, there would be Alabama fans that go, phew. It's about time to start thinking about. I'm just telling you, it would happen. It's all it takes is one game. I mean, everybody was on the LSU bandwagon already. Brian Kelly, I don't know about that one. Okay, he's in year two, and they won the West last year.
And a week ago, he was he was the greatest thing and going to win the national title.
Well, and then look at Florida State, they stuck with a guy who they saw a blueprint that said, look, it's not showing up on the field, but they're getting better. They're recruiting better players. They're doing the things. It's taken a while. They're doing it gradually. They stuck with him. And unless the quarterback gets hurt, it's going to pay off. Because unless that quarterback gets hurt, Florida State is going to be a team that's going to be in a playoff, in my opinion.
Oh, they look like they look like they're going to be favored in every game the rest of the way, but barring a quarterback injury.
I think that's the one thing that could derail them.
We'll get to our first break. Love for you to join in as we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
At Dixie Electric.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, Drew at the controls. Got to tell you this little thing. I'm glad I'm here in one piece today. I told my wife this story last night because this happened after I got home. I had to head out toward Tigertown, and I was told after a near incident something that I couldn't believe I heard. All right, so I'm pulling out of our subdivision, which it's a four-way stop, you know. I pulled up to the intersection and stop, and there's a car approaching, a big SUV approaching from my right. All right, I stop. I start into the intersection. The SUV may have slowed down before they decided to turn right as I was going straight across. And horns and brakes and a near collision. And there's a young lady just screaming at me. And so I was not very happy right that moment either. So I stepped out of the car and was like, what are you, you know, why are you blowing your horn and yelling at me? And she said, and I'd say she's around 30 maybe. She said, you were to my left. I have the right of way. And I said, no, I had stopped at a four-way stop and you weren't there yet. And she goes, it doesn't matter. I'm on the right. I have the right of way.
Nope.
And I went, well, you can check on that, but you're wrong. And she was still yelling as I got in the car.
Did she come to a complete
stop?
No,
I told her that she didn't come to a complete stop. And she said, I think I did. And I went, no, you didn't. But that's secondary. I mean, they're both primary. But thinking that because you're on the right, you have the right of way. My goodness, I learned something today that at least I was told this today when I was relating that story to someone. It's like, well, you know that if you take driver's ed these days, you don't have to take the driver's test anymore. I did not know that.
All right, let me tell you, there are lots of places, there's lots of states where all you have to do is pass a written test.
Online.
And you get a driver's license.
Apparently that is the case for a lot of people. So if you've never had to pass the driving test.
Correct.
I'm sorry. I'm just glad my car wasn't bashed in yesterday. But know that at a four-way stop, you stop first at the four-way stop. But if a car is there before, if you arrive and there's a car stopped, it has the right.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's right in that you can legally turn right.
Yes, you can.
At a stop, you know, but she
not if there's a car going through the intersection.
No, exactly. And so, I mean, the issue, like, I think the right-of-way stuff seems like nonsense because the important thing is
she was adamant that because she was on the right, she had the right-of-way.
It's a four-way
stop.
It's a four-way stop and you were there first and she didn't come to a complete stop.
Right.
And that, you know, would have I imagine, although I don't know what the no fault rules are anymore. I know I just talked to somebody who got in an accident in Florida. It seems like now
if that had been ruled no fault, if I was going through an intersection and a car who hadn't gotten there hit me and it was ruled no fault.
But if it's her word against yours, right? That's where it becomes like a no fault situation.
Well, she was willing to admit that I had gotten there first.
But she thought she'd come to a complete stop too, which anyways. But I'm glad you're
anyway,
okay.
Yeah.
Glad you're okay.
Just a little.
Be safe out there, folks.
Dude, there are some folks that I do wonder about that are behind the wheel. All right, Jason, back to Saturday before we move on to this Saturday. What were the things that you liked the most from Saturday?
Yeah, to me, the first one was, I mentioned it, I thought Keontae Scott and Donovan Kaufman, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of watching Utah play defense and looking and going, Utah is not a team that has a bunch of NFL guys on defense, mm-hmm. but they create havoc. I think this is going to be a defense that has to create havoc because I just don't think they're going to be able to line up and play four down linemen, two linebackers, five DBs, and stop people. They're going to have to do it in different ways. I thought Ron Roberts was really good at bringing some different things. They did a lot of simulated blitzes and there were only four people coming, but at the snap it looked like there were seven,
right.
And they dropped a guy and they do some things like that. To me, that was the thing I liked the most. Can that be sustainable for an entire year?
Did they do more of that after the first drive of the game? Was it?
Yeah, because first drive was pretty much, hey, let's see what we are base, and it didn't hold up very well. They did more of that after that and created pressure and doing some things.
And Pumachon made a couple of plays on that first drive, too. I mean,
when we talked about it, he was a guy that was going to create some issues, and he did. He created some issues. Running back was better than people probably giving him credit for. I think if Pumachon stays healthy, I think that's a 5 or 6 win team. I think that team could make it to a bowl game against the teams they play because he's going to create some issues for folks. So that was the first thing for me. I saw that. The other things on the offense and really the rest of the game were things I expected. I expected them to run the football well. I expected those running backs to look good.
I thought the offensive line looked pretty good.
And I expected that group to be solid. Yep. I do not expect to see as much rotation as we saw early last week.
No, I'd be very surprised. I was a little surprised at Coach Freeze saying, well, you know, we got 7 or 8, and I guess they'll do it for a while.
Yeah.
But
I think we'll see Too Tall at right tackle, Gunnar Britton at guard. And I think we'll see Gunnar Britton and Jeremiah Wright at guard. I think we'll see an extra guy. I don't think we'll see 2 or 3 extra ones early this week. I think we'll see a couple of different lineups, but I don't think it's going to be – it may be as many wholesale changes. But, I think they've got some options at running back. We'll see about Jarquez Hunter. Who knows? We'll find out Saturday night.
I was really impressed by Jeremiah Cobb on the touchdown run. Because I didn't realize – I guess I didn't watch enough of him in high school.
Like, yeah.
I didn't realize he could move like that at that size. And
– he's – like, you know, I've been watching him for a long time. He has everything. He's the complete back of the entire group. He's the one that has the most complete set of tools, in my opinion. The
only thing he lacks is experience.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he has – great hands. I'm like in high school, they literally lined him up as a slot receiver and would run him on go route 60 yards down the field, and he'd catch the ball. I mean, like he would play as a wide receiver. So he's got that skill set. He runs behind his pads. Like he does all those things, and he can run. Like when he gets an open field, mm-hmm. he can go. And so I think he's a guy that'll continue to get some catches. I like the Brian Battee role.
He got 7, 8 touches.
You could see that quickness return. Back that maybe was a little bit, you know, a little dinged up in camp after having that surgery in the summer. That quickness was back. Demario Austin, we didn't see a whole lot of, but I think he's fine. And so obviously they've got options there in the run game. You know, so those were the strengths that I thought I would see from this team. And then, you know, Kay and Lee was, hey, he gave up a few plays here or there, but overall the secondary was good. Jalen Simpson was a guy that I thought would be the ball hawk for this team at safety, and that showed up Saturday. I think he's a guy that's going to be in the middle of plays all over. Those things, and then he's just a true freshman. But Keldrick Falk is a guy that has to play a bunch for this team.
Yeah, I noticed. I mean, he only played 14, 15 snaps, but I noticed him on a few.
He split a couple of double teams. He got pressure. He got his hands up in the passing lane. I think he's a guy that's going to just continue to get more and more reps as they go along.
Yeah, Auburn needs somebody to be a disruptor,
correct.
Somebody to, create some problems there on the defensive front. Because other than that, I didn't notice an awful lot from the defensive front.
No, that was. I mean, Marcus Harris made a couple of plays. Elijah McAllister and the guys coming off the edge, I thought were solid, mm-hmm. but it's that interior defensive line. Can they get a push? Can they push the pocket? Can they create some havoc? And there wasn't a whole lot of that. It mostly came from the guys coming off the edge, whether that was a blitzer or, you know, saw Steven Sings a couple times, Elijah a couple times, but then it was, you know, 1.59 guy and another 6 foot 200-pound DB. That was the two guys that created the most havoc for the defense.
Special teams, sort of a mixed bag. Boy, the returns. Auburn's gonna bust a kickoff or punt return.
Yeah.
They're going to. They need to tighten up a little bit on the coverage.
Yeah, and I say that. I thought Alex McPherson was really good. I think, you know, they tried the onside kick one time. He kicked the ball about as high as you can kick a mm-hmm. kickoff to give everybody a chance. The punt returns were really the ones where they didn't get down there and had a couple of issues at times. It's going to have to be shored up. And, you know, you always like to try to probably look at some different guys, maybe take some starters off those. You might have to put a few guys back on that coverage team early on and kind of see what you can get. But Yeah, I think special teams was good. You know, Brian Batista, I mean, right out of the gate, was like 8 yards
deep.
Oh,
yeah, I was thinking,
I'm coming on. And, heck, he almost took it out of there.
He nearly did.
And so, yeah, I think that could be a weapon for these guys. You know, the Keontae Scott, and there's no doubting his ability to return. But, again, there was a couple that hit the ground, and that's going to be the thing to watch on Saturday night. You can't have one of those mistakes. We saw it. You know, LSU had another one that was dropped. The only points that Duke allowed were on a muff punt. That's one of the most damaging plays in a football game.
It's momentum, sudden momentum change.
To turn it over?
In a punt.
Yeah,
Your defense just got off the field. They got to go right back on the field. You lose 40, 50 yards in field position. That's why I always said the most important thing is catching the punt.
If I didn't feel good about my guy back there, I'd send 11. Just let the ball bounce wherever it goes, right? Because you can't turn it over there. That is a disaster.
Here's what I've always been in favor of. I've always been in favor of putting two guys back. The first thing I want to do is catch the football. Catch it, and then you have a lead blocker for the guy. But it's always easier to catch the punt if you're not having to run from one side of the field to the other. Hey, here, half the field is yours. Go get the ball. Go catch it and secure the punt first, because the roll, all those things, especially, say, if they're punting from anywhere close to midfield, because you're not going to return the punt more than likely anyway. That you don't have, you know, you're basically playing punt safe and doing all. Just catch the football. Don't allow them to let it roll around and do those things.
Tuberville was big on maybe the most explosive punt returner isn't going to be the guy back there. It's going to be the guy I feel most confident in is going to catch that thing cleanly.
Correct. It's always and it's a fine line. If you can find the same guy, then it's incredible. Trey Gaines and those guys where they're so good as a punt returner, Lionel James, people like that. It's hard to find. Hey, the guy that secures the ball the best is also the guy that's the best punt returner. And you know, even that, a punt return is such a unique thing, because kick return, everything's in front of you. Punt return,
your eyes are up while people are bearing down.
It's an impossible job.
It's the most fearless. I mean, you got to be the most fearless guy on the field, because you got to catch the football, but you also have to have an idea of a clock. Okay, about how long do I have? You got to depend on those guys holding up a gunner just to give you a chance to kind of get moving. There's a whole lot that goes into it.
You need the kind of nerves that, like, when you defuse a bomb for, like, a police force or the Army, right?
Pretty similar,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's you need – because if it goes wrong, it's
– Oh, yeah. You're blown up. That's right.
You get blown up.
All right. We've talked about Keontae Scott, the, obviously, punt returner, and Jason talking about him coming from the edge. You'll be able to hear Keontae as part of our Tiger Takes coming up next hour, as Jacob Goins – sat down with him earlier today, and we'll have that for you coming up in hour number two. Tiger Takes brought to you by the Alsterbrook Law Group. We'll need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Dak, hold on. You're up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. 24 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, and Jason with Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Dak is up first. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you today, man. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, man. Yeah, I can't agree with you more about the punt returns. Nothing drives me more crazy than the ball hitting the ground and it rolling for 15 or 20 yards. I would rather have a guy that fair catches it every single time than the opportunity every once in 10 returns you may return one for 30 yards, because that yardage is so important for an offense to start in good field position compared to, you know.
Absolutely.
It seems like a lot of guys' philosophies are to put the fastest receiver there, and really what you want is a fearless guy that's going to catch it every single time.
Yeah, it was always that old thing. It's like, hey, find me a guy that can get me a first down.
Yeah,
that was always
that was Coach Dye's thing. Always
that was it.
First down.
Yeah, and you know, but you know, I'm telling you, even in high school football, I see it every Friday night, and that's where my two twin safeties from punt returns comes in, because in high school football every Friday night, you'll see four balls in a game that'll roll 25 yards
right.
that were punted 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
well, I return, you know, a lot of footballs in the SEC at punt returns, and the mistake that I see so many people make is they get back too far and they want to run up and catch the ball, but it's opposite. You know, baseball, you don't want that either. You know, in catching punch, you would rather go back and catch it. That way you're never going to get hit in the face and have a risk of fumbling the football. And so many guys don't want to do that. They want to get back further so they can run up. But what do? Right before they catch the football, take their eye off and look to see who's fixing to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. No,
and
I know.
It took me forever, Coach, when I went to coach at Troy. It took me forever for them to believe in that philosophy, because, you know, we might have a return of 20 or 30 yards, you know, once every 10 or 15 returns.
Yeah.
And, finally we put a guy back there always to catch the ball.
That's it. And you know, you look at it and how much it shows up, especially early in a season, where one of those plays derails you in a hurry. And that's it. It's like you might find a guy. And you know, it's funny because – yeah, the fastest guy, because I mean, I think back to like Alexander Wright was never a guy that was going to be a punt returner. Because you're like, look, the most important thing is catching it first. And then
catching a punt is a whole lot different than catching a kickoff or catching a pass.
Well, it's also like playing corner and safety. Jalen Simpson's like he was a solid corner.
Uh-huh.
But he said, look, now everything's in front of me. Now I can see everything in front of me, and I can go attack the football. Well, that's the difference between a punt return and kickoff return.
Right. Well, my philosophy was, my goal was to catch it first and always try to get 10 yards. If I got 10 yards, mm-hmm. then I won that particular play. But you're not always going to get that, you know.
No.
But,
hey, see, if you save 10 yards, though, that's the key, too.
That's right. But nothing drives me crazy when a guy catches if he does catch it, and then run backwards, trying to outrun everybody. And in this day and time, you're not going to outrun people. You got to make people miss. And that's the key to punt returns.
That's it.
Hey, Dak, how did you feel? I wasn't crazy about the one that Keontae let roll, and then as it was about to stop, fell on it.
Right.
I thought,
no,
it's not going any further.
You're
There's
good.
No
that's
reason to touch
ball.
That.
That's right.
That's not a live ball.
That's right. Yeah, that's enough. And, you know, Duke did the same thing and, you know, gave up. Really, Clemson's only touchdown came off of a muff punt that was rolling on the ground.
That was it. It was going to go – it might have gone five more yards. Like, hey, give those 5 yards up. You're good.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. Good show.
Appreciate it, Dak.
Thank you.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. Jason with us for about another 15-plus minutes or so.
What did you think of Peyton Thorne in his Auburn debut, and what did you think of how they used Robbie?
Yeah, I thought how they used Robbie was about what I expected. I think it's going to continue to morph, and you know, we just did our podcast this afternoon, and I was thinking about it, going, look, if they bring Robbie Ashford in the game Saturday night and he does the same types of things and he's successful running the football, then Cal has no chance to win the game.
Oh, you're right there.
If they can't stop that, then they have no chance to win the football game. I think they'll come up and say, look, no matter what, that guy's going to have to do something else.
Yeah, you're not just going to keep the ball.
Yeah, and so I think now you add in the zone read part of it where you give, and it was just basically straight runs for mm-hmm. Robbie Ashford the other night. So now you add a little bit more of that, the passing game. Peyton Thorne was solid. As Hugh Freeze said, there were a couple of reads that he said, look, our quarterback has to be 100%. And we went back and saw there were a couple of them where one of the safety was flying downhill, and he gave, and Brian Battee got hit in the backfield and might have gained like 2 yards or something like that. Then later on, the safety stayed back, and instead of giving, he threw it and been in a double coverage. Those are things that I think will continue to get better as he gets into the offense. I thought he was solid. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to throw for 350 or 400 yards. That's just not who he is. But I think there's some plays that are still there. And I think it comes with – as they continue to add to the offense too. Again, I think there'll be some things that they add in. routes. It was pretty basic. Hey, take off, do some of those things, you know. And what you don't know too is, you know, that there was one of those early where Peyton Thorne sees an uncovered receiver, Jay Fair, instead of just turning around, he kept running his route, and because of that, it allowed the DB to get into the play. And Freeze said, look, we just hadn't worked on that. You just don't think about that part of it. You can't cover everything. And so I think they'll continue to you know, and a lot of it's going to be hot hand. Again, I'm telling you, if they come in and Robbie Ashford has success the first few times and they run it and Cal has no answer for it, then we're going to see a lot more Robbie Ashford, because I think that's they're going to go, hey, what gives us the best chance to win? You might have to do both of those in some games, but it may be one or the other come Saturday night.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll get to our final break, and then we'll talk about we'll take a look at this Saturday night, get Jason's thoughts on Cal and you know, what Auburn's concerns are with the Golden Bears. Love for you to join in as well. Again, the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
Life isn't made for joint.
On the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason, with Drew at the controls, and let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Bill. I had to chime in on your little story about the four-way traffic stop. the only time I've ever heard what she said, I guess, was like, you know, I'm on the right, so I have the right of way, is from Barney Fife in the episode of Hot Rod Otis.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if the woman in question, Bill, described.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's a Hot Rod Otis.
I doubt
fan.
That she's as familiar with Mayberry. So
no, probably not. But that's the only time I've ever heard that. But but Barney said that, you know, what do you do when both cars come to the four-way stop at the same time? And he said the car on the right has the right of way. And when you said that, you know, you were already there, so
yep,
you were already there and already stopped, you have the right of way. But if they come together at, you know, at the same time, supposedly, and I don't.
No, I believe that is correct. I believe that is correct.
Yeah, that's when they were in the in the floor playing with the cars down in the floor. I remember that one.
Only got a couple minutes left with Jason Caldwell. Great stuff, Mitch. Appreciate the phone call. What are you thinking for Saturday, Jason?
First concerns from Cal.
Yeah, I think concerns is can Auburn slow down the running game? Cal ran it and ran it better actually when Ben Finley was in the game, who was the passing quarterback,
right?
And he threw for 279. Some of that I think is just North Texas defense just does not have very many players, but you could say the same thing about UMass. Even though I thought they were. Honestly, after watching both of them, I thought UMass was better than North Texas just by watching them. I thought they looked better than North Texas did. Can Auburn slow down a run game and force them to throw the football? Because the strength of this team is Auburn's secondary. Can you do that and get Jalen McLeod on the field? I think we'll see. I think he would have played last week had it been Cal instead of UMass. Can you do that and create some pressure maybe with four not having to send
right,
extra
because
guys.
You want, I mean, if you're putting him in pass situations all the time, you want to have as many guys protecting against
correct.
The pass on
and
the back
so,
end.
Yeah, I think you're going to take some chances if you're Auburn's defense. You know, so we'll see how quickly they get into that pressure situation on defense. So that's where I go first. I think this Auburn team is going to score points. I think this is a team that has some weapons on offense. I think they'll continue to add to that. But to me, it's, can you stop the run on defense, and can you make plays in the passing game on offense? Those are the two things I need to see from this team to take the step they need to take in week two.
The run at Texas State did not go well for Jake Spavital, but he's been an accomplished offensive coordinator. The last time he was at Cal, he replaced Tony Franklin for Sonny Dykes, and they were a top 10 passing offense nationally
with a first round quarterback.
Well, no, that was the year after Goff.
The year after Goff,
they still were I forget the guy's name. He was quality quarterback.
Not Davis Mills.
But they had some success with Spavital's work, and they, like you said, they looked to spread you out and run up the middle. That's something Auburn. I mean, you hope Auburn has the athletes to stop it, but that is a, that's a real challenge for this Auburn offense.
Davis Webb, that was who it was. Davis Webb got a little run in the NFL as well, but, that's the things that I'm looking for. Can you hold up against the run? That's probably number one, Auburn's defense.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because when I got to be honest, when I first saw the number, and I'm not a gambling guy, but I did look and say the first saw the number, it said 58.5. I'm thinking that's not enough. I don't know that that's enough for this one. I think both teams could be in the 30s in this game.
I think they very well could,
The clock rules.
Yes.
And you start going, so it's, you kind of look at it going, how does it factor out a little bit? How does that impact things if both teams are running the football?
It's amazing. They ran 95 plays last week.
Because on the other side is a run and shoot team.
Yep.
That got behind. Didn't make many first downs.
Must have been a lot of three and outs.
Yeah, it was not pretty. And so that factors into it as well. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're Auburn, I think you got to score in the 30s and win this game. And to do that, you're going to have to get the ball back on defense, whether it's turnovers, whether it's negative plays. That's the thing for me. I think this team is going to have to play different. I think.
Auburn's going to have to outscore teams. Now, that's ridiculous. You always have to outscore teams to win. But I mean, they're going to have to score more points than Auburn fans maybe are accustomed to having to score.
Yeah, nowadays, no matter where you are, you're just not going to find many teams that you go, well, we're going
to hold anybody to 14
or less. You're going
to
hold this team to
10
or 12 or 13 or whatever it is. It's normally going to have to score a few more. But that's where the turnovers and negative plays come in, and I think that's what Ron Roberts does. Can they dial some of those things up on Saturday night?
And that sort of fits with until you have dominating talent, until you have guys that you know are just going to line up and be able to stop people, you've got to gamble some.
Yeah, and I think that's where a guy like Keldrick Faulk is the guy that you look at and go, that guy has the ability to do those things. I think we'll see more of him. You get Jalen McLeod on the field more. You have some more then elite-type talent guys up front. Will we see a little bit more Justin Rogers? Will they go a little smaller, more athletic at times? I don't know. I mean, they've got options, which is a good thing. Can you find the right combination?
We got a couple of minutes. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Slack is up next. Hey, Slack.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Slack, doing good.
Jason. I think Auburn should try to make them one-dimensional. And I would stack the box. I'd put a head on the head, and I let my DBs play man to man. And I think we're talented enough to do that.
Yeah,
I don't think that team can throw the ball on us like that.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to do whatever it takes to make that happen if you can. And if four's not enough, then you bring a fifth guy. And if that's not enough, then you have a sixth guy up there. Yeah, because you don't win many football games if the other team just line up and run the football.
No.
And so, yeah, I think you'll have to do what it takes to do that first and foremost. I agree.
Yeah. Y'all talked about TJ Finley's game last week.
We mentioned it yesterday. I mean, we talked – Dan mentioned Texas State here a little bit ago talking about Jake Spavital. But, TJ, 22 for 29 for – right at 300 yards, and he also ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, but again, it comes back to how many times have I talked about it? We talked about it. System matters. You put guys in the right position to make plays and then let them make plays. TJ Finley's a guy that can stand in the pocket and throw the football, but he has to be in the right system and the right fit. Same was true of Bo Nix. The same was true of whoever it is. Now he has guys that have put him in the right position to make plays, and not a surprise to see him go out there and be able to throw the football.
How good a prospect is Brandon Jacobs, son?
He's pretty darn good. He's just 2020.
He's a big youngin', isn't
he's
he?
He's just 2025, but he's about 6'6", 310 already. Offensive tackle, Braden Jacobs. He transferred, is now at Buford High School, so he's playing big-time football, gets talented, gets challenged. He'll be a guy that – he's already a four-star guy. I think he'll be a top 100 prospect in the country, as you head into next year's class. Been back on campus again last weekend. Auburn continues to bring more and more, and Brandon's been back on campus, I would say, more in the last 6 months than he has in the last 10 years. And so that's a good sign.
Not surprising, really, either. Jason, have a great trip. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you and the guys are going to be doing.
Yep, check us out at auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. Like I said, you got tons of things coming from here, from across the coast this weekend. We'll have, for folks to stay up late, we'll have full game coverage. You can check it out late night, Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So follow us there, and also follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Thanks again, Jason. We really appreciate your time, and yes, safe travels. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Stick with us.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network, sports network, joining us in hour number one. Jason and company, I think he said Jason and Nathan are and Justin Ferguson all going to be on the same flight tomorrow. So Ferg will not be with us tomorrow as they're heading out tomorrow evening. They will, you know, he might be able to be on a little bit from the airport, because I think he said their flight is at 7:20, which is probably Eastern time, which would be 6:20. So he might be able to at least be on with us for a little bit tomorrow. We will see about that. But our thanks to Jason for being on with us here in hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear Jason Caldwell. If you missed any, check out the podcast.
That's right. Podcast The Drive, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. So, and you can join us on The Drive on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show.
Why are you moving around?
No, because I can stretch my legs out this way.
Oh, okay. But
I have a little bit more room with the microphone.
Oh, okay.
Doing it this way. So I switched over and stole Jason Caldwell's former. I also like the way this microphone sounds. I never use it, but nice reverb.
It does.
Over. Anyway, text box?
Yeah, I didn't. I just mentioned the phone number. The text box is
334-564-1840, the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
It's going to take care of the crick in my neck I usually get from looking to my left. Now I can look back to the right.
There you go. Bounce it out a little bit.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so it's the regular crew here for hour number two. We do have another edition of Tiger Takes coming up at the bottom of the hour as Jacob Goins from On the Line sits down with Keontae Scott. Again, Auburn practicing every weekday. They practice Monday through Thursday while we're on the air. So our Tiger Takes, we're unable to speak live with Keontae. So Jacob visited with Keontae Scott earlier today, and you'll be able to hear that interview coming up at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, anything on your mind, your thoughts on, if you still want to look back at last week, but it feels like time to be looking ahead to this weekend. We mentioned some of the games involving SEC teams especially. The Alabama-Texas game is the top game nationally. Everybody's going to be there as far as the, you know, you've got game day, you've got the SEC network will be there for the Alabama-Texas game coming up Saturday, which is the game immediately prior to the Auburn-Cal game on ESPN. So, you know, just there's another thought. What if that one goes long? The Auburn-Cal game could start even a little bit later.
Right. I mean, it's the game coming on after Alabama-Texas, so there's no telling if it's going to start on time.
One thing we have seen is, all right, there are fewer plays in college football, but the game times really have not, early on at least, there's no difference in the game time from kickoff till the final whistle. It's been about the same. It hasn't shortened the length of the game. It's just shortened the number. It's lessened the number of plays.
It's shortened the number of plays, and it's increased the number of TV timeouts or commercials that we've been able to see through the first couple weeks of the season. I know Lane Kiffin had some remarks about that
on the teleconference
today, and Chip Kelly had some pointed words at halftime of the Coastal Carolina game as well. Like that's not what the coaches are hoping for.
No, if you're going to shorten it, go ahead and shorten the entire game. I mean, but we will see. Like we said, Cal ran 95 plays last week. Auburn ran 24 in the first quarter last week. So, I mean, if things get clicking, you can see more plays. But you really got to go at a fast pace to be able to get to what we're used to. What games really intrigue you this week? Obviously, there's Texas-Alabama. Texas A&M at Miami, I think, is a pretty interesting game. Ole Miss at Tulane is another one. And when we're looking at conference games, that are pretty interesting.
No, this is a big week for the SEC, especially like you were saying in the first hour, Bill. After the SEC's performance in week one, in marquee out of conference mm-hmm. games, the way Florida and South Carolina and LSU did not deliver, it's big for teams like Alabama and Auburn and Ole Miss to represent the league in big-time matchups. A&M as well, going on the road and playing Miami. I think all of those are really interesting games. Gus Malzahn going to Boise State is an interesting game. I think that's a UCF team.
I like UCF in that.
I don't know how far UCF is from the top of the Big 12. You know, Texas and Oklahoma, especially. I mean, if they can maintain the standard next year, mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be far from the top of that league at all. That's an intriguing game for sure. UCF going on the road and taking on Boise State.
Yeah, and that one was, and probably shouldn't have been. That was easier for me to pick than some of the other games.
Jake's been talking about Oregon, Texas Tech for a couple of weeks now.
He's been talking Texas Tech a lot.
Oregon is I saw a tweet that the sports books are saying the public is on Oregon huge, laying 6.5. So I won't be surprised at all that Oregon Texas Tech game is maybe a little bit closer, because that's always a warning sign when the public is overwhelmingly backing one team. Word is that the public at the moment is also backing Auburn in a big way with the 6.5, 7 points.
Apparently, seriously backing Alabama as well. I mean, Alabama, here it sounds like Alabama's getting almost all the attention thus far from the bettors.
Oh, certainly, yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true.
So it's that one there. I just don't know. I mean, I feel like that Alabama is, Alabama's got a lot of things going for them with it being at home and everything. Texas, a lot of Texas folks seem to feel like they came so close last year that they're just, just sort of due. Or it's their right to get this win. They're going to have to play very well, I think, in Tuscaloosa to knock off Alabama. But, I mean, that's a huge ball game for Sark and Texas. I mean, if they can win that one, they'll prove they're back. But Alabama, it's almost like, Nick Saban's playing the we don't get any respect type card for the number three team in the country.
And we'll see how long Alabama, continues to play. If they keep playing like they did in week one, I think it won't be long at all before they're getting respect as a.
They got a couple of first place votes. Georgia was the only team with more first place votes than they had
right.
in the coaches' poll.
I mean, it is. I can understand if you're Nick Saban at the moment, it can be frustrating because even if you're great, there's still more attention. Until Georgia loses,
right.
they're still perceived as the top dog, and Alabama doesn't play them in the regular season. Having said that, it's still it's still Alabama we're talking about here. Like that's still a really dangerous team.
It's really interesting to look and see how much difference there is in the talk, the feelings about teams from a week ago to right now. A week ago, there was an awful lot of Alabama doesn't even know who their quarterback is. Oh, they've got a real problem at quarterback. Now, I heard Jacob's guest a little while ago say, you know, you got to consider Jalen Milroe as a dark horse for the Heisman after a game.
Yeah. And it's amazing, too, because some places that felt really good about their quarterback situations are now wondering, you know, what's going on, including, I think, to an extent, LSU, although that wasn't just quarterback.
No, I don't think it's much of Jaden. That wasn't all Jaden Daniels' fault.
Jaden Daniels was the one. Clemson?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they kept talking about how, you know, how talented Cade Klubnik is, but, yeah, I don't know.
No, but it's a it's at least for 1 week, it's a quality situation there for Milroe.
Yeah, no question. And people questioning Quinn Ewers now after the, you know, feeling coming in was he's healthy now. Look out, Texas is going to blow it out. They go out and they don't destroy Rice. And that has people going, well, maybe they need to go ahead and make the move to Arch Manning. It's like, yeah. Let's wait and see.
People are less patient than ever before.
You're not
kidding. And if you're Sark, I mean, maybe you have to push that button because the folks might be getting restless if you don't put up a high quality season this year at Texas.
Well, a lot of it's going to depend Saturday. I mean, it would be an interesting thing to see Arch Manning come in against Alabama in Tuscaloosa, but that probably wouldn't be the best place. I wonder how the Manning clan would feel about that. I mean, I'm sure they'd be very proud and excited, but I don't know that would be the optimal circumstances to be bringing him in. We'd love to hear from you. What games are you looking forward to this week? Some of the other games outside the SEC, Notre Dame, NC State, I think is a really interesting ball game. How about does Vandy have a shot at Wake this week?
I think Wake, I don't know enough about Wake post Hartman because Sam Hartman was such a huge part of what Wake did offensively last year. That's still a team that appears to have a lot.
They still feel, it feels like they're still a notch ahead of Vandy. Vandy goes in there and wins. They're 3-0.
It'd be really cool to see a Vanderbilt 3-0 start. I just don't know if they've got enough to take down
Wake
Forest.
That wasn't one of our games to pick, was it?
I don't think so. I got to do the Brian picks. I haven't done them yet.
Okay, I was going to say I don't think that was one. I did them very very quickly because I seem to do better usually when I go ahead and just knock them out and don't think about them too much. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love to hear from you. Anything on your mind sports wise? In case you weren't with us earlier, the news of the day coming out. From the SEC teleconference, as Hugh Freeze announcing Austin Keys has undergone surgery on his thumb and will be out, as he said, for a while. So he is not going to be making the trip to California. You know who is on the travel squad? Jarquez Hunter.
Interesting, and we'll see if
Nathan King posting that a while ago.
We'll see if Jarquez, who was at practice on Tuesday, we'll see if Jarquez can go after missing the first game of the season. And Auburn had no comment about exactly where we are in the Jarquez situation, but the fact that they're bringing him and we'll see if he's out there on the field on Saturday.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze showing the moves of a punt returner there when he was asked the question about Jarquez Hunter. He said we have a lot of folks that might not be able to play this week and went right into those other guys.
And, of course, Hugh Freeze will be on Tiger Talk tomorrow night. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn-Opelika area, the Auburn Sports Network on the Auburn Network. The game Saturday night, late Saturday night, 9:30 local time here in Auburn for the kickoff. You can catch that on Wings 94.3, Andy and Jason live from Berkeley.
Yeah, just think about the Auburn fans that are in Eastern time zones.
10:30.
There are a lot of
10:30 Eastern on a Saturday night.
10:30 kickoff on Saturday night. By the way, just in case you're going, well, that must mean that Jarquez Hunter is going to play. No, that does not necessarily mean that, because remember, with non-conference games, there's no limit to the size of the travel squad. The only limit would be your budget as to how many players you're taking. So Jarquez making the trip, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he will be dressed out and ready to play on Saturday night. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Again, Tiger Takes coming up at the bottom of the hour, but next segment, we're still wide open. Love to hear from you here on the Wednesday Drive.
Inspired by the bold
and zero. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. And let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I know they've got the rule where you take more on the out-of-conference games, but why do you think Auburn would take Jarquez Hunter if he's not going to play?
Maybe just as a reward for practicing well or something. I don't know. I mean, there are different reasons you could do that. It may be the only chance that some of these guys, you know, have, or it's the first opportunity that I would imagine most of them have had to go to the West Coast.
Well, if you're going to suspend somebody, I don't think you should give them a reward.
If you're not suspending them, then you could be able to, reward them.
I don't know the policy about bringing a suspended player on a trip like this. Like I would think that this means Jarquez is going to play, because I would agree that it's a, you know, it could, you know, the use of university resources to bring a suspended player across the country, if indeed Jarquez
would probably be probably be frowned upon. So yes, I mean, I'm not saying that he will play. I'm just saying that it doesn't absolutely mean that he will play.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, you know, I don't see why Auburn would take him.
I understand. That's a very good question.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this. Coy Moore didn't play against
UMass.
Yeah, UMass. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I thought that was right. And I watched the game, but if you look at the ESPN stats, it has him catching one ball for 33 yards.
I believe that was Javarius.
It was,
yeah.
And the official stats, the official statistician misread the 6 as a 0.
Yeah.
So it was in the stats, I believe, at least through yesterday. I haven't checked today.
I think,
but I expect them to be corrected.
I think it's been updated. We talked about that earlier in the week,
right,
Brett. Yeah, there was an error.
Oh, okay.
Coy Moore did not record a snap in the game on Saturday.
It's pretty good if you can average 33 yards a catch and not be in the game.
He was out there in practice.
No doubt.
He was out there in practice on Tuesday, so I think that he could be he could be more active this week, but I don't know.
Okay. Last thing, I know we practiced yesterday, but any word on the Wilkie Dinaud situation?
No, I think Auburn's just going to wait and see exactly what happens with this situation. He is still, you know, all we know is he's still on the team and was at practice.
Okay. Any idea what it supposedly happened?
I've read a couple of reports. I did not read the arrest report itself. But it's something. It has to be something between $500 and $1,500.
I saw someone reporting that it was a scooter,
an electric scooter.
Yeah,
is what
scooter.
I
read.
I've heard scooter and also a cell phone, but who knows? All right, guys, have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Brett. 334-321-1390. And Keith is next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, yeah, I'm just gonna chime in on last weekend. It just seemed like most of those games, with his NIL deal that's going on and the transfers and all, it just seemed like a lot. Everybody was playing a farm team or something. I mean, you know, all them players, any of those teams that have a good player that can play on one of these bigger teams is gone every year. So, you know, I don't even know what the answer is. They just messed this up. 99% of the time, we're gonna get just exactly what we got this weekend.
You know, the group of five adjustment that how they're going to have to deal with, because I think there's a give and take there. Yes, you are likely to lose star players to the Power Five if they want to improve their NIL position and they want to play against the best competition before they go to the pros. The upside, I think, for group of five programs, Bill, in the new climate that's been created is that there are high school players who aren't being recruited like they used to be.
Oh,
by
yeah,
big,
no
by
kidding.
Big-time programs.
Leave it up to the smaller schools to try to, you know, develop them a little bit.
And so Group of Five programs may be called upon to do a little bit more developing of those kind of players, but there might be a higher caliber of player available to the Group of Five out of high school than there used to be because there aren't as many spots
right.
in Power Five football.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it like that. But that's just kind of what I got out of it. I mean, you know, a lot of the people that have transferred from Group of Five are big league ball teams, if they did get picked up by somebody else, winds up on these teams, which that's a good thing. But I know that they need to make these games. I don't think Auburn really needs to make them, but I think that these other teams need to make them to stay in contention or either just survive. But I just assume Auburn not play them. I mean, if you're going to play somebody like that, play Troy or South Alabama. I know y'all talked about all that. But
South Alabama is on a schedule coming up. I mean, I think that's something that, I don't know how long ago the UMass game was scheduled. A lot of that's competitive, too, where, it's team one wants $1.4 million, team two wants $1.5 million, team three wants,
I'll tell you what, Hugh Freeze would much rather be playing somebody like that than going to California this week. And that's the other thing. I had, Wimp Sanderson asked me this morning, who scheduled that? And I said, this one's been on the schedule for a while.
This was a Jay Jacobs.
Yeah, this one's been on the schedule for around 10 years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that both the Auburn, I think Penn State, Cal, and UCLA were all scheduled before the switch from Jay Jacobs to Allen Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it really surprises me that those teams from that way out there are getting in the ACC because
that's better than being in the Mountain West, and that looks like their only other option.
Right. Yeah, I mean, with all this going greener stuff and all, I mean, to travel all the way over here just to play happy ball games, that's going to be tough. But
it is. Especially considering they're only going to get 30% of what everybody, what the normal distribution would be in the league.
But it was the best offer on the table for Cal and Stanford.
Right. Well, after watching, on the other hand, after watching LSU and Florida State, I mean, it's hard to gauge between the teams, but I tell you what, their line play just seemed a lot stronger than what we were looking at, but it's just hard to tell when you're playing in Massachusetts.
Oh, you're right. I mean, you're right. This is a much bigger test this week.
That's right. But I wanted to shout out to I know that there's teams playing all over the state, and I've just kind of gotten away from going to high school ball games and JV games and stuff for the last several years, but I went to see my nephew play up there at Benjamin Russell last night. And, man, I've never seen a 7th and 8th grade team, I guess they call it middle school, play down 20-19 with six touchdown passes. I mean, that was an entertaining ball game. I really enjoyed myself. And it's amazing the caliber athletes they got.
Well, I'll tell you what, as time goes by, I'm amazed at the how athletic some youngsters are that are coming up. And that's why we keep seeing, just guys that seem to be just bigger and faster. And it's amazing. You wonder when it's going to sort of top out.
Yeah. And, when I was coming up, Smith Station was just about unbeatable. I mean, they always had amazing athletes, and they've kind of fallen off here lately. But I think in the future, Russell County is going to be the new Smith Station. I got a nephew who plays over there, and I think they're going to be pretty good.
We'll keep an eye out.
Hi, man. Thanks.
Appreciate the call.
What are you thinking with appreciate the call. Great stuff. What are you thinking for Bama, Texas?
I'm thinking Alabama. I sort of like them and the points. I mean, again, I stink at that, and there's a reason I don't do anything
nobody
more than
knows,
talk about
nobody
it.
Nobody knows what's going to happen on Saturday.
I
think people
feel,
who
it just feels
don't
like,
feel any shame if you're not, because I mean it's more about talking about what already happened. I mean, we don't know what's gonna.
The only thing that gives me a little pause is it feels like everybody's going in that direction.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just feels like when too many people are going that way, maybe it's not. I mean, I'm hoping it's a really entertaining ball game. I mean, last year's was pretty darn exciting.
I'm thinking
I just
Auburn,
don't know if it's going to be that tight.
Right now, with the disclaimer that I can change my mind, right now I'm thinking Auburn and Bama both, like, last second field goals.
Okay.
I guess that'd be the answer.
I'm thinking Auburn should win, but I don't know about the 6.5 or 7, whatever it is.
Bama, Texas, close in the fourth quarter, yes or no?
To start the fourth quarter, I think.
Before Bama pulls away, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Auburn, Cal, close in the fourth quarter.
I've got a feeling that one's close all the way to the end.
Buckle up, yeah. And it's either a goal line stand.
That's a nail biter, white knuckler, whatever. That's just a feel I have.
You got it. You got the feeling of a lead change in the last 2 minutes in Auburn, Cal,
or hanging up, on and preventing that
or
lead
hold,
change.
Or holding off on somebody. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right. Well, you know, I wonder how Keyonte Scott's feeling.
We'll find out when we come back, because Tiger Takes is up next here on the Wednesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. Earlier today, our Jacob Goins visited with Auburn defensive back Keyonte Scott.
Jacob Goins here on ESPN 106.7, host of On the Line Monday through Friday from 2 to 4, having my weekly sit-down with Auburn defensive back Keyonte Scott. Keyonte, great to talk to you, man. I know vibes are pretty high after week one. You get the first victory of the Hugh Freeze era. You get the first victory in the 2023 season. And so before we get into details and specifics on the game itself, what was it like for you to get back in Jordan-Hare and have over 88,000 people cheering you on against UMass?
Yeah, it was definitely exciting, you know, just telling my teammates, some of the guys that transferred over and some of the freshmen, just what to expect. And then, you know, the fan base living up to it and just, you know, welcoming us, you know, Tiger Walk as soon as we get off the bus and just see all the white shirts and all the people and all the fans just supporting. And then to get in the stadium and to fill it up like that week one is just exciting to get out there again and get back in the stadium with everyone for sure.
And then the game itself, a good win for you and your team, 59-14 in week one versus UMass. Did it, for you personally, Keyonte, did it take you a little bit to kind of, you know, maybe shake off some of the rust, maybe some nerves in that week one? I know you talked about last week, you know, you're hitting the same guys all fall, all spring. Did it take a little bit to kind of get back in the groove of things in week one?
Yeah, 100%. You know, you definitely got the nerves and stuff. And then, you know, it's the first time of you knowing that it's time to really prepare and, you know, it's time to, for things to really matter and really affect and win the losses as far as that. But just some nerves and just some jitters. But, you know, after the first try, we're able to calm down and then, it's ball. It's time to ball.
And then the defense on Saturday against UMass played extremely well, gave up just the 14 points. One of those was on the opening drive. And Keyonte, I want to get your thoughts on that. What was the message after that opening drive defensively, where the offense for Auburn went down and scored, but then UMass went down and scored as well, and all of a sudden it's 7-7 in that first quarter? What was the message from Ron Roberts and the entire defensive staff after that opening quarter?
It was just to calm down and just to, you know, go through all the stuff we went through on the week and just lock in on it and do what we do. You know, we had the first drive, we had a lot of guys, you know, antsy to make a play. So you kind of got some guys and, you know, missed assignments, missed leverage, just antsy. So we just all calmed down. We took a breath. You know, I was on the sideline telling our guys, you know, just, all right, we've seen the jab. You know, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to establish. They feel like they can run the ball. I feel like they can get the ball in the perimeter. So we just calmed down, and once everyone relaxed and calmed down, we started playing our keys. You know, there's always things you could do better in the week, and, you know, we corrected some of those things, and we're looking to get better at those things this week. But, you know, just after we calmed down after that drive and just being able to relax and able to, you know, get some stops, get off the field, and then, you know, get some of our younger guys and guys to get some experience in that game, that's, you know, a big thing for us.
Keontae, you had four total tackles. Two of those were solo. Going into the game, you brought it up already. You knew that UMass wanted to run the football. They had an athletic quarterback, a couple of good running backs as well, and you knew they were going to just pretty much stack up and try to run the football. So for you, what was your game plan personally, knowing they were wanting to run the football, and how were you trying to get yourself involved?
Just knowing that the ball couldn't potentially roll off the table, as we said, and it could come to me, and just being able to get it down. But also just, you know, pursuit, high pursuit. With running quarterback, got to make sure that you just, you know, get them on the ground, contain them, and get them on the ground. So I definitely feel like we did that. Could always be better.
And then Saturday against UMass, the temperature actually wasn't super bad. It was actually overcast and, what, about 85-90 degrees, a lot better than what it could have been, right, in early September. So maybe heat didn't have a whole big factor for you, and I guess not against UMass either, right?
100%, yeah. We definitely we lucked up. We were planning for it to be a little warmer during the week, and then, you know, ended up getting the overcast, so it calmed down. So that definitely calmed some of us down as far as, like, not having to worry about, you know, controlling our bodies, make sure we're hydrating. But we were already prepared for a hot day, so getting that warmer weather, we were over-prepared at that point.
Sitting down and talking with Auburn defensive back Keontae Scott here on ESPN 106.7. As you flip the page to week two of the college football season, Auburn getting ready to make a trip out to California to take on the Golden Bears. What's been this week of preparation like? I know it's Wednesday at the time of this, and so what's this week of preparation been like and moving forward to get you guys ready to take what I've called just an awkward trip out to California?
100%. Yeah, we just want to make sure that we're capitalizing on our some of the things we, you know, could clean up, and then, you know, just being able to build on it. You know, we set a foundation last week of how we want to play, and then we just want to continue to build on that and get better each week. But this week we just want to, you know, do our jobs, be assignment sound, and tackle the football, and then, you know, turn the ball over, create some turnovers. So we're just focusing on that, the small things. As a defense, we feel like we got guys to where we're going to be talented enough each week. We just got to make sure that we're doing our jobs and all 11 are on the same page and getting off the field and creating turnovers.
And then for you, how are you trying to prepare your mind and your body for the time change and the long trip out there? I know the equipment staff is already on the way out there. You guys are flying out later in this week. But how are you personally, Keontae, just getting yourself ready to make a long trip to Cal and then start at 9:30 our time, a late kickoff there in California on Saturday night?
Well, it's a homecoming for me. Didn't be able to go back to California, so I'm kind of used to it from flying back and forth from here. So I'm just trying to tell the guys, like, to be smart with the napping as far as the time change. And you know, our coaching staff and our nutritionists and our strength staff have been doing a good job throughout the week of preparing us for the flight as far as our posture on the plane, hydration, eating, making sure we're all straight with that. And then, you know, when we get there, we really won't have to. I've been telling the guys the weather's going to be, you know, perfect California weather. So we should be able to breathe a little better down there with coming from being in the humidity to going to be in a not humid area. So we should gain that, get that plus. And then, you know, just being able to, you know, handle the travel like pros, make sure we're handling on our business throughout the week. And then, you know, get on the plane, get there and, you know, adjust to what we have to adjust to.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I was going next, was you being from California. How does that benefit you? And you talked about helping out your teammates and stuff already, trying to just, you know, let them know what to experience. The weather should be, like you mentioned, really, really good. So I'm glad you brought that up. How many family members are you going to have at this game on Saturday, Keontae? You should have, like you mentioned, a homecoming. Should be a great day, huh?
Yeah, 100%. You definitely get an opportunity to get some of my family and some of the people that can't make it out to Auburn and Alabama to see a game. But definitely this is their opportunity to, you know, come and check it out. So this is very exciting for me to be able to play in front of some people I haven't really played in front of since high school. So it's just going to be fun, capture the whole thing, give people a chance to see me, get a chance to, you know, see my family and see my close friends after the game. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, that's exciting for you and for this team as Auburn travels out to Cal to take on the Golden Bears this Saturday 9:30 kick on Saturday night. for the defense for Auburn, for you and this entire staff and group of players. UMass ran the football, but Cal is going to run the football, and I'm sure you guys have seen the film from their week one win versus North Texas. They're going to line up and run the football really, really heavily. What is the game plan for you and this defense to try to slow down the Cal offense on Saturday night there in Berkeley?
100%. It's just really to just be assignment sound. We feel like if we're assignment sound, we feel like we have the players on the team to handle any game. So we just want to make sure that we're assignment sound, getting the ball on the ground, not letting these running backs get into space, get up on our secondary, get up in the second level of the defense, just keeping it in the first level and force them to beat us on the outside, which we feel like our DBs are good enough to handle that competition. So we just really want to stop the run and see what this quarterback really can do with our DBs. And then, you know, that's the game plan, to get our offense back the ball and put up points.
In week one, and even in practice too, Keontae, who are some of the communicators and the leaders on the defense? I'm sure you're right there in it. You were on Saturday. But who are some of those vocal guys on the defensive side of the football that are really, you know, guiding players here and there and calling out different formations? And who are just those vocal leaders so far early on this season on the defense?
Definitely would mention Elijah McAllister, Marcus Harris, Donovan Kaufman, Zion Puckett, Eugene, Cam Riley, Austin Keys. It's just, as a defense, we want to be a noisy defense, and we're a defense where no one is prideful on the field. So we're all communicating. Everyone's communicating. DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett. As a defense, we want to be noisy. We want to hold each other to the standard. So we're all leaders on the field. We all hold each other accountable, because at the end of the day, we're to a point where we kind of know why it hit. So we're asking, like, hey, what happened right here? What happened right here? We're just communicating, fixing things on the field as we go, just trying to hold everyone accountable. And that goes as far as everyone that comes in the game, as far as anyone that will play. We're just all very, very good leaders, very good at holding each other accountable.
Well, I think that's what makes a really successful defense, Keontae, is when somebody maybe does mess up or miss an assignment or miss a line or miss a tackle, where you can say, okay, who messed up, why'd they mess up, and now let's fix it and make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's a huge benefit and a huge factor for a defense that's going to be playing in its first road game of the season on Saturday.
100%.
And then for that road game, How are you feeling? How's the team feeling? First road game of the season. It's tough to take a trip like this in just week two of college football, because you feel like you're just now getting started in the season and you got to load up and travel across the country. So how are you guys feeling as you take a trip across the country to California?
We're really excited for the opportunity. We feel like each week we're getting the opportunity to just show people the new Auburn and where Auburn's going. So just being excited to show people with the high powered offense and getting on the road and all the things that people would say try to use against us as we go on the road. Just being able to prove people, that's all we want to do. We want to prove to ourselves that we put the work in and that we have the right staff and we have the right players this year. And we're just going to continue to just prove to ourselves that, you know, this is what we're doing and we put the work in for this.
And then how much fun has it been so far? I know Hugh Freeze talked about celebrating the wins, right? Celebrating wins in football games, in life, and not just moving on to the next one and trying to just fix all the problems. So what was the celebration like for the first win of the season in 2023? Of course, his first win with you guys at Auburn. What was the celebration like Saturday and into Sunday for week one?
It was definitely good. I know being able to get back in the locker room and to have him in the middle and, you know, do the fight song and just all the excitements, all the jitters, you know, out the window, and just very exciting to be able to, you know, get a win. And as he says, it's, you know, it's hard to win college football games, so we got to make sure we're celebrating those, but also being ready to, you know, come in, clean it up, and then get ready to go get another one. That's our mindset this year. So it was just very exciting to get in the locker room, be around the guys, have some recruits, have some of the commits around, just seeing the culture and the way it's moving. So it's definitely exciting.
Keontae Scott, Auburn defensive back, joining us here on ESPN 106.7. for Auburn to go to Cal and get a win on Saturday night there in Berkeley. What do you have to do? What does the defense, offense, special teams, everybody together, what has to happen for Auburn to be successful on Saturday night and come home 2-0?
Defensively, I feel like we have to stop the run, create turnovers, and get off the field on third down. Offensively, I mean, them guys, they do their thing on that side of the ball. They, you know, just score points, and when they do get a break, just to score. Special teams, just be assignment sound. Touchbacks, leverage the ball, tackle the ball. And then as far as punt return, you got to make sure I secure the ball and then be able to just create those explosive plays for offense any chance I get. And then, you know, we do those things, and, you know, at the end of the day, we should come out victorious. But just to be assignment sound, and then just to, you know, have fun. Have fun. Don't really think too much of it. And just vibe out and do what we do best. Play ball.
How soon can we get a house call from Keyonte Scott on punt return? Man, you had a 56-yarder, man. You're close. You're getting there.
Yeah. Just starting to get comfortable. Like I said last week, just starting to take advantage of it this year, just being able to get the ball in my hands and be able to create plays, make plays for the offense, and put them in great positions. So hopefully I can get a chance to not even have to bring them out there. Just go ahead and punch it in this time. Just looking forward to it this year for sure.
Yeah, well, you had two returns for 67 yards. Of course, 56 of those on just one return. So you're an explosive player, an electric player on defense and on special teams. And, man, we enjoy talking to you. We enjoy watching you on the field. We appreciate your time. Good luck out in California. Safe travels to you, the entire team, and come back with a win on Saturday, huh?
Yes, sir. War Eagle.
I appreciate the call, Keyonte. That is Keyonte Scott, Auburn defensive back, who joins us every single week here on ESPN 106.7.
And that's Tiger Takes, which is proudly presented each Wednesday at 5:30 by the Alsobrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com. Thanks to the Alsobrook Law Group for their support of Tiger Takes on the Drive. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention, law.